Good to go. Rock and roll.
We on?
We on, baby. Rock and roll.
We on. Cool.
You got your Stella?
I got it. Cheers, my friend.
Boom.
Cheers.
We're not sponsored by Stella's, but we probably should be. Stella Artois, I know. 1366 from Belgium.
How do you say the second part?
Artois? Huh? That's a bougie in a... I think that's how you say it. Stella Artois. Artois.
Artois.
You know old Stella Artois. She lives down there in Ewan County, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And Artois family, they're crazy.
Mm. Yes.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about. We're going to recap on the Cowan Lake. I want to try to get that out of the way because that was like a freaking frog sandwich for me, man. God, what is Cowan? I used to crush him at Cowan with the crankbait. Shallow crankbait heaven. That's where I earned crankbait Johnny. Was at Cowan. I qualified for the national championship there. I won money there. I couldn't find a bite with a search warrant. Mm. What the hell?
It was tough. It wasn't how I intended to go. So, you know, that's what makes you change your game plan right there.
Goose egg. That's all I got.
On the roll, man.
Zero. I wasn't alone, though. Man, that was tough. And thank God for the 8-inch minimal.
I know.
You know?
I gotta say, I think I upgraded. Yeah.
Right.
I did. But still.
I was like, miserable. So I tried to commit to one spot. Usually I get antsy and want to go. So I tried to sit in that one spot. I threw everything that I had, literally everything. And I tried, because I minimalized my stuff, man. I was on the iTrek 9.
Right.
And that I was able to just climb, literally take the Mirage drive. I got the turbo fin. I put the turbo 180 in it. And literally, I was crawling through the lily pads, just kind of crunching my way through those things and getting back into the back of those. But
I still don't stand a chance against that the Mirage drive. It chops them up.
It does. And it's easy to pop them up and get it out of there. Usually, if you just stop, what happens is if you get, I noticed on the inflatable, obviously, it would stop. You get the speed going on something like the Pro Angler. You're just chopping through there, and your inertia is kind of destroying stuff. But that inflatable would stop, and then you would just kind of go back a little bit. Things would settle, and then you could just start kicking the Mirage drive again and make your way back. But if you're going to fish the lily pads, be a lily pad. So
yeah, I would take my drive. If I really wanted to get in there, I would probably take my drive out, pull it out, get my power pole, and take it out and push pull myself through there.
Yeah,
and just make it to where there's no drag, nothing can catch. It's just your boat going over top of it.
Right.
I'm not that convinced that I need to.
Well, it was obvious I didn't pull nothing out of there.
Yeah,
people were envious. I think there was bass boat guys going by, going, look at that some bitch back there. He's on them. They got the bank on one side, fallen timber, structure, all of that, and then the lily pad heaven on the other side, right? Nah. It was a joke. I don't know what it is. I've lost it. Again, it's that confidence thing. But I called it. I knew Sean Skidmore was going to find fish. He's the magic man. I called it on that, I think, early that morning.
Yeah, it was... I missed three right off the rip, back to back to back, and...
Okay, stop there.
Yeah.
Okay. Why? What was it?
I don't know.
My first one was
a buzz bait. It even had the stinger hook, and when it jumped, I saw that it had the stinger hook in it, so I was like, sweet.
Yeah.
And then, so I just cranked, and I didn't even let its head get below the surface again. I was just pulling. I didn't even have it. It was bulldogging, really. I don't mess with that. No, I'm done messing with those fish.
Right.
Like, I was just an 8-1, so it was burning.
Mm-hmm.
And I could tell it was a nice squirrel fish for Cowan anyways. And as soon as it got to my boat, it flipped and spit. Have no idea.
Oh.
And I set a good hook on it when it slurped it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The other one was on a jig. Another, I don't know. I don't get it. And then on a net rig.
Right.
Yeah, the skirt and the actually.
So all different.
Yeah.
Nothing like different. Not like you were using one particular thing.
And that was throughout the whole day. I switched. I caught fish on four different presentations.
Right. And you ended up in eighth place, right?
I did get an eighth. Yeah.
That's pretty good, man. Anytime you get a top 10, man.
Like you said, it was tough, man. I'd heard Calvin's been fishing tough the last couple weeks, and I mean, it really takes to stick with one thing to just go all day. That'd drive me nuts.
Right.
You know, it forces you to fail early and move on.
Right. So you had your largie was a 14 and a half.
Yes.
13 and 12 7.5s, man. You just need those.
And I missed them. The first
doesn't
two
that drive you nuts?
Would have been good. But I mean, right. Anymore, you can't let it get to you. You've got to move on. I mean, that's as tough as that is for me, even me to say.
Right.
Because it burns. But I mean, after a while, I mean, what can you do?
Right. You can't do on that.
You put yourself in a position to do everything right and shit just goes wrong. What are you supposed to do?
Right. Kill that bastard fly.
Oh, I'm going to.
Just drive him
in
the wall.
Fun.
Give him the shoe.
About to give it the...
give him the old President Bush. Throw the shoe at him. That was the best thing ever. Remember that?
No.
You remember when he was overseas, like in the Middle East, and it's an insult to be hit with a shoe or slapped by a shoe.
Oh, yeah, that foreigner took it
and
he threw it.
He just took the dodge, man. That was the best thing ever.
I do remember that.
That was a fun present.
Deb,
yeah. Wow, Dad. So Reese Stout was just an inch and seven quarter or three quarters away from you. An inch just makes that big of a difference. And Chris Anderson up there in sixth place. Paul Averill in number five. Jason Myers, number four. Nick Markham, number three. And Doug Markham. They related?
I think so.
Isn't that something when a brother-brother combo or
right.
a daddy-father... son combo shows up and just whoops everybody's ass.
Yeah, the guy below him, Jason Myers, he's a buddy. Usually goes out there with bass boat. This was his first kayak tournament
right.
ever. And he just catches... I don't know where he finds the fish out there that he catches, but they're all massive.
That's Jason.
Yeah.
They don't even have profile pictures.
I know, that's how new
it is. Is this... What the hell?
I do. It's not a fake account though. It's legit.
That's funny.
Jason's a good dude.
That is funny. It's actually Kevin Van Dam in a fake account. Jordan Lee. And what's your buddy from Australia? Down Ender? Paula Newick?
Carl Jacobson.
Carl Jacobson.
Yeah. But no, they're all from, I think. Are they from Kentucky? Does it say Kentucky on there?
No.
Are they from Ohio?
It doesn't say.
Look right beside their name.
Oh, yeah. Duh, duh, duh. Yes, it does. Ohio.
They are from Ohio. I think they're all from the Hamilton area then.
Right.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well, something to pay attention to there,
yeah,
Nick. Good job, Doug and Nick and
more,
Jason.
Yeah. Absolutely.
What the hell? So are they all just a bunch of old bass boat guys that are turning over to the dark side? Or coming from the dark side? What do you think is the dark side? You think the kayaks are the dark side?
I just think assholes are the dark side.
Assholes are the dark side.
Yeah, I do.
And I don't find a lot of assholes on kayaks.
No.
You know what I mean?
From the other means of fishing out of, which would be a bass boat. Some of those guys aren't so nice, but that's okay.
Thank God. I have a feeling she's just going to do that. No, she's walking away.
It's like,
pay attention to me.
I'm leaving.
Poor cat. I do want to pay attention to her because I don't think she has much longer left. She's like a dozen years old. I don't think she has much left. She's losing a lot of weight right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, usually they'll just...
I'm the animal caretaker here at the Rocky Star Range, by the way. But, so Cowan, and then... Come on, man.
How many limits were there? I haven't even...
That's a good question. A lot.
There were?
I imagine there was at least... You had a limit, right? You had a limit. So there was probably Braden. He had a limit. He's 11th. And then Eric. It stopped at Eric Jones, number 12. So 11 people had a limit.
Wow.
Come on, Eric. You're going to have to do better next time. So what's up with Sean Skidmore? Where in the hell does Sean Skidmore go in Cowan? Did you see him anywhere?
Yeah, a couple times. He and I talked to each other two or three times Saturday.
He can catch fists like that and even have time to talk to people?
If I'm moving around, we'll just shoot the shit.
Where's he coming from?
As far as what? Where Adam Cowan?
Yeah.
He was up in the, by where the generator is. That's where I saw him.
He's up at the generator.
Yeah.
Where's the generator at?
I don't
know. Where's the generator?
There's a water, some kind of a generator at Cowan. There's one there.
North, south, east, or west?
It's on the north behind the beach ramp. Like on the back side of it.
Right.
Where it makes that sharp cut.
Right.
To the left. There's one back in there.
There's a generator back there.
In that corner.
What's the generator do?
I don't know. We should look.
Something magic. Sean. Good job, Sean Skidmore. Damn. Amazing stuff. You know, really, he's a good fisherman.
Yeah, one of his fish was fat, too. It was a healthy fish.
Yeah, he had a couple there that were really big. He had his, 85 inches of fish. When the rest of us only had, second place was 72 right. and three quarter. Yeah. I mean, there's a big jump right there, but he had two 18s. Pluses.
The bigger fish really probably helped.
I mean, boom, boom, boom. I mean, that's, 36 inches of fish immediately.
He caught five fish and scored all five, so that tells you fish clean.
Look at that. I don't know, Sean. I'm looking at that first one you submitted. I think you shot that with a 22 bullet. Look at that big hole. Look at that. So he was in his Hobie Pro Angler. He has all of his electronics, right? I'm going to talk about you. So he had all of his electronics. You think that helps? To a certain degree.
Electronics?
Yeah,
I think everyone knows that lake and they know where they want to go, how they've done best.
Right.
What fits their style. And it just...
Because Sean was a damn good angler long before he ever put that stuff on his boat.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even turn my graph on. Except when I got to the island, I just beamed around to see what they were doing. They were all hunkered up on the island, so it was just stacked with them.
On the island?
Yep.
I actually was over there at the island for a while throwing stuff.
On the west side of it, and I caught two on the back side. I couldn't get them to hit nothing, but a chartreuse white spinner bait. Was it a quarter, 3/8?
Right.
Yeah, 3/8. Burning it back to me, filling it up, and then it had a gold Colorado and a nickel willow.
Right.
I think I caught three doing that right there like that.
Do you do better burning spinner baits than bouncing them around like a clown town?
Just a reaction is all I was wanting to get out of them. And I threw square bills in there. I threw slow roll until I kept getting hung up swim baits. But then I just started burning that spinner bait. And that did it. Because I could see that they were sitting there. So I turned it off and then I didn't have to look anymore.
Right.
I knew it. And I would even leave and then come back and then catch one then. And then do it again. You let them settle down and then burn something else to there. Three of them, So that's the myth. I've always known it's, you aggravate them. A couple guys use this analogy recently that, they're like cats.
Yeah.
And it's so true. You just got to annoy the piss out of them and they'll react. They get annoyed.
Right. If you could reach out and bite that fly and choke that somebody down.
I got one of them.
So it's like the same thing.
What do you mean?
It's just you annoyed the shit out of it and of you until you reacted.
No,
right?
I hate flies.
Right.
Like
I think that bass at Cowan on the west side of that island hate chartreuse spinnerbaits.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, it's cool to figure them out because, you could probably do a couple other, obviously other people caught one type the jig. Speaking of the jig, how about that muskie?
Yeah. So, it's, man, there's testimony for actually having a rear GoPro mounted camera. Because all that is a story.
Yeah.
If you did not have that. And we all tell the same. Come on! We all tell the same story. Oh, man, it was big. I don't know. It was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah. It all blends in. But when you actually got video.
Yeah.
And that's funny because you didn't know what it was at first.
No. Yeah. I just saw the brown, like a brown flash on it. I'm like, man, it looks like a big flathead. But it wasn't as dark, that dark. So I was like, I didn't know what it was. And then I saw the tail, and I kept going to myself. I didn't see the head until it, you know, tried to jump across the bow.
Yeah.
So
it was at least. It just snapped.
Yeah.
It just bit it.
Shot went back that way. It finally got my. It was 17-pound Florida though. And I mean that rod, just like a stud.
Right.
Oh, it was so fun.
Which rod did you have that on?
I was on the 7. If I was throwing a swim jig, I'd have been the 7-foot.
Right.
It was cool. I didn't even get to show you all because it was it was 2 minutes. It's a 2-minute battle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're kidding.
No. It's a 2-minute battle.
Wow, how much fun was that?
It was stellar, man. It was, and I, going back to those fish that I'd missed, it made up for it because I was trying to stay positive.
Yeah.
I really was. I was trying to put those behind where I'd come from.
Yeah.
And I just happened to just be blessed with that.
Yeah, that's a fish of 10,000 casts too, isn't it?
And some of the guys said that, I guess there used to be muskie in Cowan. I don't know anything about that lake. I just know it's my nemesis lake. That's all I know. I call it nemesis. That's it.
Well, you caught you get the multi-species award pen from ODNR because you went a cat, you got a catfish.
I did. Saw a guy.
Yeah. And he limited it.
So, it's all
right. You had a good fishing day, man.
It was, you're right. I guess five, there's eight. 9, 10, 11 fish?
That sucked.
Unless the muskie gets a count for it. It was the most epic part of the day for me.
Yeah, God bless.
Other than seeing you, watching you show up in your pajama pants, that was
I did. Cool. I told you I was going to wear my pajama. Didn't I tell you I was going to wear my pajama?
Yeah,
did you know, those things are so damn cold. Or they're nice and cool to wear. And they match the Strictly Sail team jersey. Didn't you think?
Yeah, I liked it. I like the John Daly.
Did the guy go, what the hell's that dude? I was trying to trip that guy out. The guy that you met at the dock, you were talking to.
I don't know. I can't remember.
He looked like Thor.
Who?
He looked like Thor. He needs a fucking hammer. Right? Right?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't he? He looked he looked good behind a shield, maybe a couple smaller dwarfs to each side of him throwing Lord of the Rings stuff around.
I just went and saw that movie, by the way. The new one?
Lord of the Rings?
Thor.
Oh.
I guess there's a new Thor out. I don't follow Marvel, but it's pretty cool. I guess it's...
That's Thor going through all the kind of bad stuff in his life, isn't it?
I don't know anything about Marvel. And I didn't know that them were all connected somehow on the back end of everything. Every story, there's always... And at the end of every... I didn't know this. At the end of every movie, in the credits, if you sit there and watch, they'll give you the next movie that's... They're going to...
Oh.
The figure that they're going to do a movie about. I didn't know that.
Wow. They're playing that on Marvel Comics. Is that Marvel that does that?
Yeah.
They're playing that. It's pretty good.
Yeah, it was cool though.
Yeah, so what were we talking about?
Pajama pants and then Cowan.
Yes, Thor. Anyway, he seemed like a really nice kid. Was that his first tournament?
I don't know.
He seemed like a nice kid.
Yeah.
I was trying to trip him out when the two old guys showed up fishing for crappie, and I told him to run over you dudes at the dock.
You did?
Didn't you hear that?
No.
There I am in my pajama bottoms, my greatest moment, my Harrison Ford.
Drive by and say, you should all be arrested. It's when you bail out pajama pants, they're like, who the hell is this dude? It's like, that's John. You come to play.
You should all be arrested.
Yeah, you had your window down, slow rolling too, in your black Suburban.
You should
all be arrested.
And I didn't have a kayak.
You didn't even have your lights on.
They weren't?
No, your lights were off, dude. You didn't know that?
No.
Yes, you
did. The whole way out, they must have been out.
Dude, your lights were not on.
Oh, my God.
Are you serious?
I must have, because I didn't do nothing with my lights.
No, dude, they were off.
Oh, my God. I drove the whole way out there without my
lights.
Oh, my God.
That's what turned your dash lights on, probably, but you did not have headlights.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Damn.
I had a couple people flashing highs at me. I'm like, what the hell? I don't have my high beams on.
I didn't have nothing on. I had my GoPro running, so I'll have to see because it was pointed in the direction where you pulled in. So I'll have to go back and double check.
Oh, you got to get. If I'm saying you should be arrested, I came back around. And I told those old men that were getting in the crappie boat and kind of anxious to get in there, and I told them just run your asses over. I said these punk son of a bitches have been sitting here taking up all this dock space. I said I'm glad you two guys showed up because I've been wanting to whoop their ass. And he did.
I got some Roy D. Mercer on you.
And I'm sitting there in my pajamas.
Yeah.
That was a classic Harrison Ford moment. Never let me forget.
No headlights.
Oh my God. Yeah. And in my pajamas too. So if I would have been pulled over by Blanchester's finest.
Then you roll up, flip open your hatch, like, hey man, come over, help me air this up. I was like, these guys have no idea what he's even talking about.
Help me pump her up.
Yeah, something with your pump or something. I was like, wow.
So I use the iTrek again, the iTrek 9 inflatable. You can find yours at Strictly Sailing Kayaks up in Blue Ash, Ohio. That's located on Kenwood Road. They've been there since 1978. Have I ever asked you what you were doing in 1978? Middle of summer, 1978.
I was just born.
You were just born. You were pooping in your pants.
Yep.
In 1978.
I still had the oil streaks kicking.
Yeah.
First three.
Right.
Three.
Oh man.
The explosions.
Yes. That's what you were doing. Times haven't changed at all.
No. No. Haven't changed. Start it out, learn my lesson, and then back at it.
Oh my gosh. So there's a Cowan recap. We wanted to do that. Oh, by the way, I left there at 1. I bailed at like 1 o'clock. I couldn't stand it anymore. 1:30. And on the way home I said, well, I'm not done fishing. So I dropped in Stone Lake and upgraded 2 on the Buckeye Kayak Fishing Trail. The first cast I caught a fish at Stone Lake.
Throwing your wacky rig?
Nope. I actually turned around. I was in a different part of Stone Lake. I was up by the beach, that little slough there by the beach and the Frisbee Golf. And I reached around. First thing I saw was chartreuse, like a coleslaw spinnerbait. Tossed it. First cast, boom.
I wish I'd have switched that spinnerbait about 2 hours earlier. I really, really kicked myself in the ass for that, because I mean, that's what I even caught the channel cat on. Everything was going after that spinnerbait, and I wish I just would have picked it up earlier, because I mean, it was perfect for it. Little wind, clouds, it was perfect for it. I can't believe I waited that long.
Is that what that conditions? If it's windy, if it's cloudy, you're going to be throwing up spinnerbait?
It's like the perfect recipe for it.
Well, see, you're starting to learn things already on John Graves Kayak Fishing.
No, I mean,
known.
And I never had a lot of confidence in a spinnerbait, but this year I've caught more fish off of it. Just throwing it at what, you know, the right conditions are, it hasn't let me down yet. Right. And there's something about the nickel plate willow with the brat or the gold.
Right.
There's just something about it.
The combo.
The combo. It's not too much of the other. Yeah. And then that Colorado blade just thumps.
Yeah. Are you using a willow blade and then a Colorado blade?
I like an inch and a half willow blade in the back, I believe.
Silver.
Yes.
Chrome.
Silver. Yeah.
And then the gold.
Yeah.
Colorado.
It hasn't let me down.
Yeah. I believe that's a good combo myself. That's the ones that work for me. And I use it. Most of them are War Eagles.
This is not a War Eagle. This is from my buddy down at Primary Tackle. David Best sells them.
Right.
Some guy local down there makes them. Uh-huh. And there's just something about them.
Right.
I mean, I'm a fan.
Good. Get out there and get your spinner baits. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and here's a little shout out for our sponsors coming to you right now. So you tell me, have you been down to Lake Fork?
Yeah.
And is that when you got kicked in the nuts?
Yeah.
Down there?
Those two scenarios I just told you happened to me this year. It was almost 7 feet low. They're working on the dam. And then it iced an inch.
And just
on kayaks.
Yeah. And the locals are laughing at you guys.
Oh, we had a blanket thrown over the kayaks we went and bought a dryer vent, hooked it, duct taped it to the outside, and was blowing the dryer, like went and cranked the dryer on, was blowing all that dryer heat into the kayaks.
You're kidding.
No. Oh, no, I'm out.
Just to keep them from freezing.
They
out.
Were already frozen. We was trying to unthaw them.
Oh, my Lord.
Everything was frozen.
What event was that?
That was the BASS, the Bassmaster.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was one of their first ones this year. Yeah, it might have been their first. I don't know. All I know is it was a terrible experience in Texas.
Right. Those are cool events. What do you think about the Bassmasters Kayak Tournament Series?
They've, without a doubt, proven that they can run it just with their name. And they do a pretty damn good job.
Right.
They just have some other little things to tweak.
Right.
They don't have far to go. off of you know who.
Right.
Like, it's not even comparable. But I think, yeah, the next, I think they'll be there.
Well, they just got the money and the,
they got deep
exposure and ESPN.
And I think they're going to mirror off of Hobie, I would hope.
Right.
How could you not? And
Hobie's really has set itself as the platinum series. You know, if you were going to design yourself off of something, make sure it's off of Hobie.
100%.
Yeah.
Not even... And it's just the little things that they do, too, that add up for everything. Like, if there's something that happens, there's a resolution immediately. There's an answer for everything. You don't have to wait 6 months.
Right.
You know? Something happens in the weather. In the tournament... You know, like, I forgot my board once down at... I don't remember where I was... Hartwell.
Yeah.
I was like 45 minutes from the board check. So I'd gotten almost there and then drove and turned around. I was like, oh my God. Turned around, went all the way back, come all the way back into town. And AJ's like, dude, you should have just texted me. He's like, I would have let you use one of ours.
Right. Because he's got 10 of them back there ready for that situation.
He's like, you just have to take a picture and like verify your board.
Yeah.
Like, and that's cool, man. It's my fault for not speaking up, but hey.
Do you think AJ knows that stuff because he's been a tournament angler and he's been in smaller series before and he's kind of grown up and he knows that one third of us are going to forget something or do something stupid? So
he's done everything he's fixed for within himself. He's gone through it all, or there'd be no way to know how it all happens or if it's a possibility.
Right.
And it's just really cool that he's got guys around him that he's built that, I mean, they're going to do big things.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do they raise the entries? Or do you think they'll add more anglers?
I don't really want them to add more anglers.
I don't either. I'd rather see
more money on the end for the 200 dead. But I'm telling you what, come high noon, you better be ready and out in the street with your credit card when that high noon hits, because you got approximately from now on about 8 freaking minutes.
So the 100 is still backed up. I thought it would have dropped. No. I'm waiting. I'm not refreshing, but it's moved a little bit, but not as much as...
You mean anglers
that
can't make it?
The wait list, yeah. Right. The backup list.
What number are you on that?
I think 13.
Right. But when is that coming up?
End of July.
So that's
It's like 3 weeks. Yeah, actually 2.5 weeks.
So most likely those dropouts are going to be within the next week or 2 weeks.
If they waited, they lose more money.
Okay.
They don't get it all back. But if you do it like a month, I don't know. He's got some rule, which. Right. But like a chick, none of them dropped off until like the week of.
Okay.
You know, so then he wasn't able to get a full field because he didn't. You know, he didn't have enough time.
Right.
We'll see. Be interesting.
Right. Man, so I dropped a very nice Old Town 130 up at right off the river there, and to some young man who was pretty pumped up to have his Old Town kayak. He was asking where he fished. He said the river there, and I said, "Oh, do you know about like the Hobie Bass Open Series and things?" He had no idea that there was anything such like that. And I said, "So do you know that river well?"
Since you and I just became BFs,
yeah.
What's the juice, bud?
Do you know that river well? He said he's been fishing that river since he was 13 years old with his brother. So he knows the spots, where to go,
right?
Know how to catch big, smallmouth there, and.
We're talking about what river?
Susk.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And he was very pumped up about that, so I was like, and he invited me up there to go fishing with him sometime. So that's where I realized that, you know, what, really 5 years heavy into this kayak bass fishing stuff, 6 years or so, that, man, you do have to just roll the dice, man, and get on the road and go check these spots out before you And that's where you're going to get better and better as an angler, and you're going to get, you know, I think, you know, God bless Christine Fisher, man. So talking about somebody who's really just started, and then all of a sudden now she's at the Worlds, you know, so she's in Sweden right now, pre-fishing.
Is it going on now?
2 weeks.
Is it?
So she's at the game, and she deserves all of this because of her social media content, her hard work, but most of all, her getting up and rolling the dice and going for it.
Results.
But here she is, 2 weeks, she gets to hang out in Sweden.
Yeah.
And you talk, how come she can fish those and catch those fish of 10,000 casts like every other day? She catches more muskies and big fish like northern pike than anybody.
I see why people go after the muskie. Muskie's like a freshwater tarpon. It really is.
Some monsters.
And I mean, the one that I had hooked was, I'm sure, around here, I don't know what the typical size, length of them are, but because I've never fished for them. But right. I mean, it was 40 inches. And I mean, to me, that's a decent sized fish.
Wow.
In a back creek that's not expecting to hook that. Almost pulls your damn rod out of your hand.
Oh, what is this?
Yeah, I had my rod was in one hand. Basically, yeah, I just had a hold of it, and I was just getting ready to like burn it back, and like one of those things where you're about to turn your head because you're like, yeah, this burn.
No. Right.
It locked.
Wow.
It stopped. It just doubled.
There's that. You get that good Smitty rod bend going on there.
But yeah, no, during the tournament, I seen this guy. I don't know his name. I just asked him how his day was going, you know, and he said not too good. He said he hadn't caught a fish all day, hadn't had a bite. And then I passed him again and asked him, he's like, nah, no luck. I got, you know, what the coolest thing about was the guy after the tournament, I saw him, he was talking to Skidmore and Bert and Adam Shepherd. He came up to me just out of his way, saw me sitting over there and says, man, I just wanted to say that, to let you know that thanks for asking and checking on me. I was like, I actually caught a fish. I caught one fish, so I didn't get stunk. And I was like, nice. Sweet, man.
Nice.
I think the guy was just so stoked. I was like, it's little things like that. Just a little bit of boost of confidence,
right.
You know?
Right. And the dude that had all the confidence that showed up in his pajamas this morning, he got skunked. Yeah, it just wasn't my day, man. So, Cowan. But we'll be back there again at Cowan and stuff like that. But, so, yeah, man, getting out on the road and fishing these places and finding new spots. I do want to go to St. Clair with you.
Yes.
Big time and catch some fish up there. On the other end of the fishing industry spectrum, and it's something that I'm getting excited about right now because it's just next week, literally, but something I anticipate every year, and that's ICAST. Which is literally the world's largest fishing industry trade show. It's closed to the public. It's a golden ticket to get in there. You're either manufacturer, retailer, buyer, mom and pop store, big department box store, looking at all of these new items for the first time and getting your hands on them. And that's amazing. There's a whole different side of the fishing industry that I think is really unexposed. It's like the underbelly of what we see. We, you know, fishing for most of us is going to Walmart or Bass Pro or Cabela's, going in and buying a few lures, getting together for the weekend, and going out and doing some fishing. But how did that product get to the shelf?
Do you feel that there's not enough products that actually make it, and like they're not one of those products that they come out with that end up in a, you know, buy one get 10 free next year, you know, Walmart or wherever,
right.
Or, you know, like, yeah. How many of those products, other than like a Shimano, like reel, obviously, because they always break out the new reels.
Yeah.
Like, any of those products, I would like to know, because I'm sure you've seen it, there's probably tons of crazy stuff there.
There's genius stuff that you think, why is that not on the shelf?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's stuff that you would think, well, there ain't no way in hell that would ever make a retailer. And then you go into Bass Pro Shop 6 months later and there's the end cap filled with them. And you're like, oh my gosh. So that's a hard judgment call for me now to look at something and let you know if it's going to be successful with the consumer right now. But man, there's, I mean, they got this one little boat that will, it's a remote control boat. It's a bait boat. And you scoop bait like chum into its like little tank. And it's an actual looking like cigarette speedboat. It's really cool. Radio control. It's for big water waves and fishing. If it rolls over, it will upright itself. Right? And you will drive your chum dump out into the ocean and just dump chum all over the place to attract fish before you send your...
How did they not have that on Shark Week with like chum and like going around surfing on the diving boats?
I know. It's one of the things you think, dude, little guy, that is like, it looks fun, you know? And if you were a bait fisherman, you know, or shore fisherman, whatever this is.
I mean, for offshore, like, well, that'd be offshore, like, anything, you could even catfish chum with it.
You could. So there's those things. There's something. There's a, you know, a real like a line winder, little plastic gizmo. Over there just trying to sell to mom and pop stores all over the place, and obviously successful. It's not cheap to buy showroom floor space at that ICAST. It's not cheap. That's, I mean, man, it's magnificent how they'll like design every single booth to fit the
flow,
the spirit and the flow of what that item is, you know. So like like what would be like Costa glasses, yes, thank you. They build like this little shed and it looked like a beach house, right? So at the bottom I had all the retail space set up, so as a buyer or something, you go through there, look at it. And then, okay, well, these glasses will work, those will work, those will work in our retail spot. Then you'd go upstairs where they had the room, the meeting room all set up there. Man, it just looked like a cool, you know, they do that kind of stuff. What was that? They do that kind of stuff, and American Tackle's got the best booth ever. It's right, it's like the center of the universe. It's so awesome. If you look up, it's just got this huge ring, blue ring, says American Tackle.
The one that's on their hat that you have?
Yeah, it's got this. It's more like this one up here, the old faded blue hat. But we are in the center of ICAST. So if you have the opportunity to go down there, we will be at booth 4030. You're not going to miss us. We're at the demo tank right next to that, the fish tank, so that draws a little attention to it. Mm. But stop down. Some of the most fantastic rod building components, which Brandon knows a heck of a lot more than I do as a rod builder. I mean, I've never attempted to build a rod yet.
Actually, that Jason Myers that we were talking about, just fixed one of his rods he stomped on about a month and a half ago. I replaced a couple of them for him. So now I guess I'm a la carte patching out.
Nice.
But do they release new components as well?
Oh, yeah.
Then?
Yeah. And those are usually, now I'm not sure if, I don't even know what they have released. I'm going to look into the memos right now and figure out this week what's going on with it new. Most of it's introduced for the first time in there's a category, there's a judging area that has never been seen before by the public. These materials, you can't even take photographs or videos of any of this stuff. So it's a particular part of the area where nobody in the public has ever seen it. It's the first time it's ever been exposed. So you take it in there. I actually had a dude come up to me because I was, that first year, man, I was so overwhelmed by how cool everything was. I literally was taking video and cameras and everything, and I did. And this guy goes, "Hey, man, you can't be taking pictures of that stuff." And that's because it's stolen.
Well, they don't want espionage yet.
And it was stolen. I saw it happen right there at the American Tackle booth the first year.
Yeah, people are shady, man.
There was a couple taking a lot of really intense pictures, close pictures of the guides, the new guides that were out, the microwave guides. And I was there with the vice president and one of the designers. And they were on it. I didn't even notice it, man. But they were on it. And they just noticed that, you know, there's people that will take pictures, but then there's people that will take pictures. And these were obviously a couple people that were going to take those pictures back to, you know, somewhere, Asia, China, somewhere.
The mainland. And just tweak them just a little bit, because their guides are all patented, especially the microwave guide. It's patented.
Yeah.
Like, no one else can make it. They just have to tweak it a little bit, and they can do it.
Right.
Shysters.
Yeah. So that went down, which is fascinating to that degree, about how deep that's that underbelly of the fishing industry business that I didn't even know existed. So this year, man, I can't wait to just get there. I'm going to hang out at the American Tackle booth like just a piece of lawn furniture. I'm just going to sit there and I'm just going to be amazed. You know, Big Don, the captain himself, you know, just say, I'm going to listen.
So you're going to be like a watchdog? You're going to be watchdogging for him? Like, you know, checking phones? Making sure people don't take video or pictures?
Oh, no.
They're going to sick you on. Everybody's got a phone?
No. That's so. John, I will.
10 o'clock. Hey,
what are you doing, buddy? Taking too many pictures
of
that
room? Hey. They're going to sit you on. Hey. Voice up on. Roll up.
Hey.
Watchdog Johnny. Yep.
No, I'm gonna watch American Tackle, man. I wanna learn so much. I wanna watch Kevin Landers. Congratulations, Kevin. It's gonna be nice to meet him face to face. The new marketing director for American Tackle.
Nice.
Man, when you can sit there and you can listen to the president and vice president and their combined history of fishing. I noticed this last year. The first year, I will say it myself and admit it. The first year, I was all over the place down there at ICAST, man. I was like on a motorcycle.
You were bandboy, snapping pictures.
Oh my God, I was just taking so many pictures and videos and had all that, you know, podcast content ahead of me. Second year, mellowed that out a little bit, but that was due to COVID because it was two-thirds smaller than what it should have been last year when me and Zach went down. But this year, I think the international parties are into play a little bit more. They're going to be coming back, so hopefully it's a lot bigger. But I admit, man, I want to sit there and just sit there and listen to people talk. And I want to hear the meetings go down. If I can, I want to hear the discussions between the rod builders, like yourself, and Don go down. I want to hear what everybody has to say and the roles that they're playing. Gary Benny, who is, I pray he's going to be there. Gary's has put together the whole Bushido crankbait lines and all that.
All their blanks.
And he's got such the cool commentary voice anyway because of the accent that he has. Man, I got to pay attention to that stuff because that's really the next, in some capacity there, that's a role that I want to play. I love fishing and the competition part of it. I enjoy doing the podcast and the media stuff a lot more, but there's some role in there somewhere that I want to figure out what I enjoy doing. That's a little bit more behind the scenes. And
they should suit you up to go overseas to strong arm better deals for them. I can see it.
Strong arm? Like
negotiate.
Like Reddington on Blacklist?
There you go. Oh, hell, I don't...
Wear a pork pie hat and a suit and just go over there and just walk in with my...
Hussein Dembek. Dembek! Walking, they're like, no.
And immediately know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I love that guy. Well, that's how I would have to do it now. Now, I'd do it more like Andy Taylor on Mayberry. Ooh. I'd sneak in the back door.
To who?
Just wherever I have to go. Whatever mission they would put me on. Next thing you know, I'm having fine dining and went to dinner with them and life is good. Got the deal done. They weren't that happy with it, but I sang them a couple cowboy songs. I can't stand country roads, but if I have to sing it to another one, I'll do it. Yeah. Oh, well, you sing country roads. The Germans love that song. Rhinestone Cowboy, Country Roads.
Yeah.
They love those classic John Denvers and Glen Campbell
songs. Didn't that guy die by hitting a tree on a pair of skis?
Yeah. John?
No, that's Sonny Bono. My bad.
Yes.
Hey, John Denver, how did that guy?
He went down in his own plane.
Oh, that's right.
Experimental plane, though.
Yeah.
He loved to fly.
Like,
Rocky Mountain High.
Jose Wehebe. I think I'm saying it right. It was a hell of a fly fisherman from Florida.
Yeah.
he had his own little plane too, and was taking it out. I don't know, this had to be like 11, 12 years ago probably. Crashed in the Everglades.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's like,
there's no soft landing in the once your gear hits your nose in.
Right. So it's, yeah. Anyways, though.
And then there's gators coming at you already because they know where
the pythons crashes. Down there, man. They're giving, like, the governor's offering, like, hundreds of dollars to people to go out, and it's called, like, National Kill Python Day or something like that. Seriously. It's like a holiday. They just had it. I'm not making it up. I swear. Look it up.
Is the Everglades in Dade County?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
That explains it. That's where cops were invented.
Oh, yeah. What you gonna do?
The show came out of Dade County. If it wasn't for Dade County, we would have no COPS on late night TV.
Not anymore. They took it off TV.
They did?
Yeah. I think.
Really?
Yeah.
I think it's still on, like, one of them old time.
Should be. Never take away cops. That was a great show.
Yeah.
It was good. Yeah, I mean, if you were
talking about Step Brothers, I mean, that's one of the iconic scenes in Step Brothers about the drum set. About when Will Ferrell comes downstairs and then he's like, "Did you touch my drum set?" He said, "No, I was laying on the couch watching Cops." He's like, "That's bullshit." Then he come back and says, "That's bullshit because I know cops don't come on the floor."
It's busted.
Iconic.
Busted. It doesn't come on until late.
John C. Reilly, that's who it is.
I love it.
It's like a great show.
So, yeah, so I'm right around the corner. ICAST, Zach Carell of the Yak Legion podcast is going to be riding co-pilot with me. He's going to sit in that seat the whole way. He's going to drive. I'm not even letting him drive. One, yeah. I can't rest.
You can make it on one tank of gas, right?
No, we will probably have to stop, I think, just shy, but we got 650 miles on a full tank.
One tank of gas.
It cost me 52 or 57 bucks last time I went down. It'll probably cost me 70, 80 now, but, you know, still, it's not bad. 55 miles per gallon.
Over one tank.
Thanks a lot, Columbia. Hyundai. John McFarland, general manager up there. If you want a great car that gets, like, great gas mileage, go see John. Tell him Johnny.
Do you have a hitch on there? On your car?
No, I'm not going to put a hitch on that. Because there's no mufflers. It doesn't have mufflers to it.
Well, so there's no underneath. Straight off the headers or what?
Right. Well, the engine's about John, the size of this Coleman.
Huh?
The engine's about the size of that Coleman.
Oh, straight line four?
It's four, yes.
Is it really?
It's just like a little sewing machine. It's amazing. And then it's got the 39 kilowatt motor on the other side of it. I'm pointing at these two as if these are motors.
Right. Well, sweet. 50 some miles a gallon. That's impressive.
55, 56 miles per gallon. Which is amazing at this point in time, you know. But so, yeah, southbound. It's about a 12 and a half hour trip. We'll make it there in about 14 hours. We're going to leave. We'll head out Monday morning, get a little head start, and then get down there Tuesday or Monday night, spend the night. Then Tuesday, they have on the water event. So it's kind of open to the public. And it's the big retention pond out in front of the Orange County Convention Center.
Yeah.
And that pond apparently has like 8-pound bass in it.
Should get out there and get that morning bite.
Here, yeah. So
everybody, show up in your PJs.
Should I do a PJ report?
I don't know. I almost think it's worth it.
Maybe I should just start doing PJ reports from all these. Because since I'm the first one at the dock, nobody's out there anyway.
Show up.
And you can get away with a slight kind of like, I think, Sheriff, I think he's a slight delusional. So yeah. Maybe we should just get him back to his hotel.
That's my cousin Eddie. He'll come around as soon as the sun comes up. He'll peek and then he'll know who we are. So it's good.
You can tell.
He's just walking back and forth because it's still dark out.
He's got his PJs on and an American Tackle Pro Staff jersey.
Right.
And
don't wake him up.
And his buddy Zach.
Yeah.
Just don't wake him up. Yes, we've done that. Got out there and did a little fishing, but this year I'm going to get out early in the morning and go. I need to catch me a big
I'll do it in my PJs. Will have anything new. That's because they're really tight lipped. Like, you don't hear, like, nothing leaks. Like, it's like an Apple releasing a new iPhone now. Like, you used to hear some leaks, but I haven't heard anything. have read anything.
It's I don't know. I think it's just coming off of COVID still. I think it's just a big production.
What would Torquedo put spot lock on the motors?
How would that work?
I don't know. They could come out with a true brushless.
So you mean a motor that's back, it just sits there and moves you back
and rotates like the front trolley motor.
Despite too. What? How's it just turns you?
Spot lock, yeah. You like, you'll set your spot lock on and it knows the direction that you're facing with your heading unit.
Yes.
And so your motor always keeps you there. But I think it'd be kind of nearly impossible from the rear. You might be able to, in a river, yes, in wind, possibly, but not heavy wind. Like if you wanted to point up river.
Right.
And just, as long as the front of your, as long as it wasn't heavy, like heavy current, the front of your boat catch, it'd be gone, and then it'd be a disaster, so.
How about if you had all the combo? Does it do reverse and forward now, or does it?
It does, okay. But it's manually. It's all.
Yeah. Oh, does it do that to hold you on the spot when it's on spot lock?
Yeah, when it's on spot lock, those guys can hit that button, and it, no matter what, knows direction to keep that boat.
Wow.
Their nose pointed. That's why from the rear it'd be a little. I don't know how they'd be able to communicate at all, but I'm just curious. You know.
Are you one of those that's always out there trying to wonder how you can make it better?
Every day.
What can you do to just
make exactly? You just look at stuff and how can you make it better?
Here's a question I got. Okay, I've been using a boatload of Senkos the past month and a half or so. I've also gone through dozens of dollars worth of them. Okay,
and you get them old and shoot our own.
Yes, that's one thing. And Lure Works, by the way. Thank you. Big shout out to Spike It and Lure Works. And I'll be seeing Kate.
How can you get a Senko mold? Where do we go about doing that?
You order one off from Lureworks.
Oh, they do sell them.
Yeah.
Oh,
they make everything.
I didn't know they made molds. I really didn't.
Every mold you can imagine. So every mold, every flake. If you were a creepy crawler kid growing up in the 70s. Did you have a creepy crawler? You're a little too young.
Oh, I thought it was an STD. I didn't.
In the 80s, '80s it might have been. Right, the creepy crawlers, right? These crazy little molds that, you know, we would just attempt to burn our homes down up in the attic. We were molding these, we'd melt like little cockroaches to scare mom and little mouse. But you had the plastic, you had the heat mold, everything as a kid. And here we are, 8 years old, pouring this stuff in there and doing it, you know, making these molds, spiders, all that, pulling them out. And man, it was just awesome. I love it.
Are you being serious?
Yeah. Creepy Crawlers by Mattel.
No, I believe you. Yeah. I've never heard of this.
We did a lot. They went along with lawn darts.
Oh, God. Those things were amazing.
Yeah. Toss them up. We would just toss them up. And we would toss them up and not look up and hold and see who got stabbed in the shoulder.
At the top of the head.
It would hurt.
Yeah.
But we would wear helmets. Like any football helmet, motorcycle helmet. But your shoulder took a shot. We shot one right. I mean, it punched hard. I don't think it pierced the foot, but it went into the canvas of his Chuck Taylor's.
I wonder why they outlawed those things.
Kids dying. God. Kids looking up and missing eyeballs.
Impaling themselves.
Yeah, we did a lot of stupid stuff back then. But Lureworks has got all your molds. So check them out, lureworks.com.
Thank you.
And we'll see if they have anything new at ICAST this year. So we can start there. But here's my issue. Those Senkos break off in usually two spots. They wear out really quick. One up by the nose of the hook where you pierce it to make a Texas rig.
Right.
And that little quarter of an inch that you can put there. Okay. Something to reinforce that in some way where that's not happening. Okay. Number two is where the hook goes in. And if you're like me, I like to bury it into the hook, then pierce the top of the skin to give the Senko a nice straight look.
Mm-hmm.
So when it hits the water column, it's floating down nice and easy, mm-hmm. right? But that hook often wears through that really quick, especially within a couple bites. But man, you hang it up a couple times, that hook's going to break that plastic, and you have nothing else to keep it secure in. Is there some type of
a screw lock
band or a sheath or something that, like a little rubber band or something that can hold that, secure that area?
It's a screw lock.
It's a screw lock.
That goes into put them on the hooks to screw in the plastics, like the part on the jig where you go to screw in the plastic or the trailer on the jig. It's like a screw lock.
So you're talking on the front of the hook itself,
and
right?
And you run your hook through that.
Right.
Matt Steffen was doing it. I just saw it on his...
Now, wait a minute. You run your hook through that? That's what you would have the front of the sink go on, right?
Yeah, screw at the lock. Top. At the top.
Right.
So like what you were just talking about, how it rips it away,
Yeah. It'll
hold it there.
Right. If now, how about at the hook part? Where that hook just always comes off, getting hooked up, always getting in the junk.
You run it all the way through and then skin hook it, or do you just like run it up inside and...
No, I run it all the way through and skin hook it. Is that not how
you... I always move mine back and forth, honestly.
Right.
To have it on the sides is...
Yeah.
Theoretically better. But then I'll just wear the whole thing out in the hat. Like, I don't keep picking the same side.
Yeah. What do you do?
What do you do?
What do you do? What do you personally do? So, anything coming up? So, we've been pimping out the Little Miami Outfitters.
Yeah, man.
A couple people had asked about the... Do you see that slow motion video of just that nasty line?
Oh, yeah.
Ripping that from the cool. reel. But how, when it went through that first microwave, God, man, it just really mellowed it out quite a bit.
It was going all, and it even held it. Like, you know, it's not a usual tight or unspooling, like that white stuff.
No.
It kind of keeps it.
Yeah. What the hell was that? Why was it coming off my reel like that? Is that just...
But that guide fixed it all.
It did.
I think that guide has, you know, it's... I didn't know until I saw your video... Honestly, because I'd never seen it in slow motion like that. You could tell how it was keeping it from wanting to get too crazy coming off your spool.
Yeah. And it was coming crazy off of that. Like, how did I wind that up? What is that? It just looked like the weirdest one, your normal, good, beautiful spiral coming off. It was a little dry. The line was dry. I'd been using it for a few days. So it might have been a little nasty and stuff. But despite, there you go, it's a good example. Despite how nasty your line is, at least it's going to tame it down.
It works.
Now we're talking about the microwave guides. Award-winning, by the way, American Tackle Microwave Guides. That might be that's their platinum product by far. So we got the new grips. You see the new grip wraps?
No.
Where you're going to, Brandon, as bougie as you are, you're going to love these grip wraps.
Oh, they don't have them on listed on their website. I know that, but...
Not yet.
Have you seen them on social media?
These are American Tackle sort of pro staff heads up.
Ah, I'm not on the pro staff.
Oh, you're not?
No.
You should be.
Yeah. I'm not on it. I'm not...
Maybe that's a deal I'm going to have to get done.
I don't. I don't know a guy.
Okay. Well, I know a guy who knows a guy. I think you would be a very, very important and very, very good pro staff member to bring on board.
I won't miss it next year. I really think it's huge to be there.
As a rod builder,
yeah.
You come from
someone that likes the detail.
Yeah. And they are introducing in the openings for the National Rod Building.
Did you see some of the... Remember the duck call one?
Yeah.
What's that?
A duck call.
Look around.
I was excited to see.
Looking around on his wall one day, like, you know what? I'm using that one.
That duck call is going to be the butt of the world's finest rod ever built.
Don't tell me you can't build a rod.
I can build one out of that duck call.
I wonder if it was a bet. I bet you can't build a rod out of this.
His two favorite sports.
Right.
Duck hunting. I mean, when you're duck hunting, the ducks aren't there. You might as well be casting.
Might as well call ducks while you're fishing.
Yeah, why not?
Hey.
And those guys are up in the junk. I mean, they are the junk. They got those platforms out there, shady things that look like they're going to fall down on them and stuff. And they get out there. And, you know, there's fish all around them on them points. So, man, that's what he was thinking.
There you go. Making something better when you look at it. How about that?
Shooting ducks and catching bucks.
It's one way to look at it.
Right.
Yeah.
The bass being the box, of course. So, Little Miami Outfitters, check them out online. And all you got to do is Google it, because I tried just to make sure.
Did it work?
It's just Google. Just put Little Miami Outfitters. It'll lead you right to your stuff. And then, because you got amps, outdoor batteries on there.
Yeah.
Right?
Strictly Sale sells them as well.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Great link to Strictly Sale. Kayak Heaven.
Brian's got a ton in stock. He truly does.
Of the amps.
Mm-hmm. He's got the... I don't know if he's got any of the 14.8 8, I think, amp hour, but he's got plenty of the 12s.
Yeah.
May even have some 24s.
So if you're getting ready to electrify your kayak, go with amps, man. Strictly Sail and kayaks or a little Miami Outfitters.
They do not fail. No. They're incredible.
I'm kind of going in reverse, man.
It's all good.
You know?
I do it all the time with everything.
I can't wait to see Bill Dance next week.
Yeah, I'm
jealous. I'm going to look at Bill Dance in the eyes. And you know what I'm going to ask him? I'm going to go, hey, Bill, do you remember meeting me in 1979 at Kmart Sporting Goods Selection? Everybody's going to go, well, no, not necessarily, you don't. And I'm going to act really upset about it.
Kind of getting to drop your head a little bit and just turn around.
Walk around and just walk
off. But have a shirt made that says on the back of it, Bill Dance is my hero. And then he reads that and he's like, yeah, I remember.
Oh my God.
Score!
I'm in! I want to fish with Bill Dance, man. I want to fish with that guy so bad. Just to hang out with that amazing human being.
Yeah.
Now, you know me, because I don't care, man. I'll get up, and I'll just talk. Like Kevin Van Dam, for instance. There's Kevin. I can see him in a moment of, you know, getting a break. But no, I'm going to break it up, his break, because I'm going to go up there and get a picture with him. So I'm like that. I'll go up, hey, Gerald. Hey, Jordan. Hey, everybody, man. Let me get a picture with you. Hey, Brian Thrift, come over here. Let's blah, blah, blah.
Do they have a special booth design, I guess, for the classic winner, the winner that year of the classic? Is there any?
No. But they are usually at their sponsor's booth.
Okay.
Or they're up on the lure tanks doing demos.
It'd be cool if they had their own booth, like stage, and then the sponsors were all inside their circle. Because, I mean,
that's
a big deal.
There's probably a few that can pull that off. Kevin,
you know what I mean?
Van Dam.
And they'd all be on board about it. It's like, that's the best fisherman of this year, right there. I mean, any classic winner, in my opinion, is. I mean, it's just, I think they should highlight it just a little bit more, because it's like almost everyone, unless you know, remember it, unless you see the guy,
right?
You know,
which is the importance of those faces,
sure,
of those anglers and stuff. But
100%.
That, you know, it's interesting because you're not necessarily selling to the public though. There, you know, so nobody's there to see really Kevin Van Dam. You know, nobody's there really to see Bill Dance,
right,
in a sense. They are additives. Bill Dance is there because Lure Lock is there.
That's the godfather.
His big sponsor. And so they're paying Bill Dance, or he's doing it pro quo because that's his job. And so he's there.
Probably.
So people are there to buy Lure Lock. These buyers and retailers and mom and pop stores are there. It's not... Bill Dance is an additive to that, or an addition to
because
that.
He sells the product. You know, just his image sells it.
Yeah.
That's what I mean about the Bassmaster Champion. His image. Someone sees anything within that realm that I'm speaking about, tell me they're not going to go look at it, buy it, or at least remember it,
yeah,
and then buy it down the road.
Yeah.
Whatever it is he's using, I don't care if it's Dude Wipes, Skidmore.
Right. Yeah. Gerald Swindle is a Dude Wipe guy.
So is Skidmore.
Right. He should be sponsored by Dude Wipes.
He's got a giant...
Is he sponsored by Dude Wipes?
I don't know, but he should be.
He should be. Man, I need to start making some connections, man. Do we have like a...
We should do the
like
camp
a
out. We should do the camp out behind, back with the turkeys back there.
What kind of connection are you talking about?
No. Don't take it sideways. You remember. The turkeys on the... Like,
you like to sleep sideways or...
Never mind, man.
You talk about camping here at the Rock and Stone.
Yeah,
No, the get together, I need to put something together. It's like I need to make some contracts happen.
Yeah, man.
Because these anglers are so much. I'm not afraid to talk to people. I'll trap somebody in the back seat of that Uber, and I'll try to as
trap
much
them
as
out.
I can. I get them in there, and I say, wherever you're going, you're going to talk about fishing and love it. That's what I kind of trap them back to. So I always angle them in the fishing.
You should put American Kayak Fisherman magazines and stuff, whatnot, in the back seat.
Just American Kayak.
Say which one you're reading.
I like that Bassmaster.
Page 54 is a good one. Like, weird them out.
Yeah, this. That's fun. That's boring. So anyway, that pays for my filthy fishing habit. So you got anything to say?
I do not.
Good. I think we're good. Yeah. So good job, everybody at Cowan. Congratulations, Sean Skidmore. Boom. You know, I knew I called it. I could have laid Vegas on that. Literally. I just knew I had a special feeling. I'm getting pretty good at calling. Isn't that funny? I'm just not a really good angler myself as far as that production
water,
of stuff,
man.
But just watching them go and watching them kind of build up into that, you know.
Sure.
So
always have confidence in yourself. You've got it. Everyone's got it.
I enjoy doing it.
Yeah, it's that's the thing.
I learned a lot this year. This year was a lot. I learned a lot this year. I wasn't afraid to ask questions.
Never.
Even though you thought they might be stupid at the time. Act stupid is the best way to do it. If you act, well, I didn't necessarily have to act. I kind of get Academy Award on that one. But if you just come across as being humble, humbly stupid, and just say, hey, what do I do? And they'll go, oh, man, let me show you this. Here's Craig Mann I like to use. Right. Everybody likes to help that guy because you kind of present yourself as an underdog.
And honestly, that's the least thing I ever tie on. I've got them, but it takes a lot for me to throw on.
A crankbait?
Yeah.
Shallow one especially?
All of them.
We don't have area around here to throw shallow crankbaits. I mean, you can run them over wood, and I'm pretty successful at Cowan, just run them over wood, but the wood's disappearing.
Now, other places, I'll throw it. If it's not in Southwest Ohio, I'll tie one on.
Right.
At least give it a shot. I don't commit to it, but
right.
Around here, no.
I committed to a couple shots last night, and I tied one on.
Mm.
Drunk lawn cutting last night.
How'd you do?
I was slightly intoxicated. Well, I was driving the tractor.
What'd you spill?
Driving the tractor. I had to go to get some Mexican food last night, and they brought this monster margarita out. And she said I slurped it down. I was kind of slightly dehydrated, but it didn't do me well. But I came home, I think I did pretty good in the back paddock there.
Looks like margarita case. Have the giant big straw on it, like the one you could stick a dime in.
Yeah.
Like a dime roll.
You know who? McDonald's invented that. Came up with that concept.
Really?
Yep. Bigger straws. That way we drink it faster.
I didn't know that.
That's, you know, and they don't give you much ice. If you look at the amount of ice that you got to put in a big, large tea, that ice is maybe an inch away from the top.
Yeah.
And so they're not putting a whole lot of tea in there, right? Unless you say, hey, they have light on tea, right? And then they throw that big straw. Like a straw.
Like a bag of chips now. It's like a big bag and there's maybe a half of it in there. Right. That's cool. What if you're like really hungry?
You gotta get two.
Bullshit.
Right. I should get one back. One should be enough. Look what they're making out of it. So look at the fun things we discover and talk about here on John Graves Kayak Fishing. We might have to change the name up a little bit.
Real talk. It's real tech. It's what do you call it?
I cannot wait. This is when I start losing sleep. In just a few days, Zach Carell and myself are going to be heading southbound on I-75, headed to Orlando to ICAST 2022. And American Tackle is very proud and excited, for they are partnering with Autism Anglers to release their very first youth fishing rod combo. This combo is designed to ensure quality fishing experience for the young angler while bringing families together for just unforgettable day on the water. Every time you purchase one of these youth fishing combos, this benefits Autism Anglers with the mission of bringing awareness and acceptance to those on the autism spectrum through the sport of fishing. And there's so many benefits for those on the autism spectrum when they have a fishing rod in their hand. It improves individual task focus, it enhances the coordination through activity, it'll boost personal self-confidence, advances in social skills and interaction, and enriches outdoor experience through family participation.
Now, Don Morse, the founder of Autism Anglers, has been a member of the American Tackle Team for more than 8 years and still counting. He, along with our other team members, take their kids and families fishing, but they have found there was a lack of high-quality fishing rods geared toward you young anglers. So hence, this combo is developed through our passion to get young anglers on the water and fishing with the quality components and benefiting just an awesome organization at the same time. That is the Youth Fishing Rod Combo, presented by Autism Anglers and American Tackle Company. You did your research online. You went to the retailer. You decided on a particular kayak. You loaded it up and you took it home. That means it's yours. You can do whatever you want to with it. YakGadget.com. You know, sometimes you get the best advice from the guy at the end of the bar. And I had that guy at the end of the bar tell me one time, if the fish don't like it, spike it.